I am talking with Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers and longtime voice of the Missouri Tigers. And Mike, you have seen a lot of football. You've called a lot of football. But this this week, this year, has to have been incredible.
Well, it's been very special indeed, Brent. You know, it's certainly fun to watch the progress that Gary Pinkel and his staff and his team have made over the course of the last 7 years, and you know, it's exciting to, you know, get emails and phone calls from people that are Mizzou fans from around the nation that are tremendously excited about what's taking place. And I think locally, and I'm really sincere when I say this, I think Missouri's success this year has helped galvanize the state, and I point to a couple of things. You saw the reaction of the fans throughout the course of the season. You know, when they were asked to show up in mass, show up in gold, they complied. When they were asked to show up in black for the Texas A&M game and help you know, create quite a send off in the first weekend of deer season, by the way, quite a send-off for the seniors. They did that. And then, you know, just driving over to Kansas City and seeing not only signs around town, but other locales around the state. And, you know, MoDOT, and the Missouri Department of Transportation, decides to use the rectangular electronic signs along Highway 70 to put up the message, "Go MUBKU." I mean, that's just something that's unprecedented. I guess technology would have one thing to do with it because it wasn't around. But I mean, I think you get the point that it's neat to see as many people that are impacted by what has been a tremendously fun season for everybody.
Mike, when you went into this season, did you think there would be anything like what has transpired?
Brent, I thought Missouri had a chance to win 9 or 10 games. I thought that there were going to be a couple of games during the regular season that were going to be difficult. I thought the Oklahoma game would be a difficult ball game, and I honestly thought Texas A&M at Faurot Field would be a difficult ball game. But I honestly believed, based on winning 8 games last year with the number of people that were coming back on the offensive side of the football, if those players continue to improve, if Chase Daniel continued to improve as a quarterback, given the number of playmakers that they had offensively, if the offensive line could stay healthy, that they were capable of putting up some big numbers. On the defensive side, I knew that Missouri had a number of people that were returning that didn't have starting experience but had game experience, and I thought that was going to be very, very beneficial for the defense. And I thought the schedule set up well. You know, opening with 2 BCS schools, if you could get by Illinois, which was going to be a good test, and it was, going down and picking up a win on the road at Ole Miss, and then you get to, you know, maybe regroup a little bit with some of those lower-level teams like a Western Michigan or an Illinois State before you open Big 12 play. So I thought things just kind of set up perfectly that Missouri had an opportunity to have a 9 or 10-win season. Did I see them, you know, going 11-1 finishing the regular season ranked number one in the country? No, not in a million years, but it's fun. It's fun to be a part of.
Was there any one point where any game or any even a moment in a game where you really thought these guys are special?
Several moments stand out. The way that they dominated Nebraska was one. The way that they withstood a late surge by Illinois and found a way to win that ball game certainly stands out as a defining moment. Going on the road to Colorado, where you haven't won since 1997, and to put up the numbers that they put up, I mean, 55 points on the road, and some of the vertical patterns that Chase Daniel threw during that football game and where he placed the football was just unbelievable. And then, you know, seeing Missouri when it wasn't playing well, finding a way to win, whether it be against Texas A&M or finding a way to come up with 2 drives late in the game to put away K-State on the road. And then, of course, the Kansas game. I mean, as the seasons progress, I've just seen little defining moments that indicated to me that this team had an opportunity to be one of the best.
You've seen a lot of football, as I mentioned when we began, called a lot of football. What do you think has been the primary reason that Missouri has come out of the shadows and finally starting to play like the Missouri I knew when I was growing up and other people knew?
Well, consistency in terms of leadership, consistency in terms of coaches, consistency in terms of the program, consistency in terms of the athletes, and then obviously they've done a very, very good job in terms of recruiting and developing talent. You know, one of the things that was said before Missouri went on that that long, substantial slide that we all know through the 80s and the 90s was the firing of Al Onofrio took place. And Dan Devine, as legend goes, told Mel Sheehan, the late Mel Sheehan, who recently passed, who was then the director of athletics, okay, Mel, you can fire Al Onofrio, but keep this in mind, when you fire the first guy, firing the second guy becomes that much more easier. And that's, I think, what took place at Missouri, is that instead of staying the course and being patient, they continued to just, you know, try to grasp for results quickly. And what people forget, Brent, is when you make a change, not only are you impacting the head coach and literally the lives of about 100 people when you start thinking about assistant coaches, families, etc., but the other thing you're doing is that you're putting an end to long-term relationships in some cases that have been established with high school coaches. And the recruiting process is all about trust. And it takes time for, I think, an assistant coach or a head coach at a Division I school to build up that level of trust with high school coaches to where they feel quite comfortable with their athletes going on to that school. So that's something that you give up when you make changes every 5 or 6 years, and that's unfortunately the cycle that Missouri was in. But, you know, it wasn't just head football coaches. You know, they had a number of athletic directors during that time, a couple of chancellors or a few chancellors during that time. And so now seeing the consistency across the board, I think that's huge.
You know, I don't think any of us really thought that Missouri would be in a position to win this game and go on national championship. But a lot of people entered this thinking Missouri needed to win the North. They have. They go into this conference championship game with a very good Oklahoma football team that they, the only loss that they suffered. Look ahead to this. What's it going to take for Missouri to capture the Big 12 crown?
Well, first of all, they have to play extremely well. Oklahoma's a very gifted team, playing at a very high level. Got it going, I think, right now, particularly on the offensive side of the football. Sam Bradford, named as you know, obviously a freshman All-American. He's thrown for 32 touchdown passes this year, which is the most by a freshman. You know, Alan Patrick is running the football very effectively. Had more than 200 yards against Oklahoma State, and the defense is extremely opportunistic, very fast, and rugged up front. It's like anything, though, Brent. You can't turn the ball over. I think Missouri's got to be able to put itself in a position where, like it did at Oklahoma, it has the lead in the fourth quarter, and then don't make mistakes. Make sure that you control the clock down the stretch and find a way to win.
And just one last thing, Mike. I'm going to let you go. Everybody's focusing, obviously, on the football team and how things are going. From a broadcaster standpoint, you've gone through some lean years. What's it like for you to go into this? How do you feel going into games like this? You went into KU. You're going into San Antonio. What's it like for the broadcaster getting in the booth calling such a big game?
Well, honestly, you feel blessed to be a part of the action. I mean, you're thankful for the opportunity. You know, really, at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about the kids and the coaches. But I am extremely blessed to be in the position that I'm in. I'm very thankful that the good Lord has put me there. But I also go back to something that the late, great Jack Buck told me prior to my first season of doing Missouri basketball back in the early 90s. And he said, you know, Kelly, at some point in time, you're going to be involved with teams that are pretty good. Other times you're going to be involved with teams that aren't very good. Just remember this, all the listener wants you to do is call the play. And that's something I've tried to keep in mind each and every game that I've had the opportunity to do, win, lose, or draw. Make sure that you're calling the play, because that's your obligation to the listener.
Mike, good luck in San Antonio. We'll be listening.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
We've been talking with Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers.